You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. This is a story of Christ's entrance into Jerusalem. Listen. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Going to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, that even the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
All through the season of Lent, we've been talking about what it means to worship God with your whole being, thinking about the ways that God speaks to us through our various senses, the things that we see, that we hear, that we smell, that we touch, that we taste. But the fact remains that our senses have their limits. The general curve of the earth puts the horizon out in front of you around 3 miles. So even if you're standing in northern Illinois and you feel like you can see all the way across Iowa, the horizon is really only about 3 miles out from where you're standing. Now, of course, this changes. If you're standing up on top of a tall mountain, you can see a lot further than that. If you're standing in the Smoky Mountains, there are days when you can't see much further than your hand. But the fact remains, our sight has its limits. A sonic boom can be heard from roughly 40 miles away. And even sounds not quite that loud still travel a great distance. I know that I'm not the only one who has stood outside their house trying to guess which band is playing at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater that night. Sometimes you can just hear a buzzing. Other times you're like, "Oh yeah, I recognize that song." But the fact remains, you're not going to hear that same concert coming from Philadelphia. I read that a shark, a great white shark, can smell a single drop of blood in the water from a couple miles away. Now, the interesting thing is, I tried to find out exactly how far away humans can smell something. And I'll confess, I didn't spend weeks on this, but I didn't find anything, which tells me that then we must not be all that impressive. It has its limits. Can't touch anything unless you're actually touching it, right? But I believe that God has placed something deep inside each of us that, quite frankly, trumps the senses. Something down deep that is a constant pull toward God. At times, the senses can serve as evidence and reinforcement of that. At other times, they can serve the contrary purpose. I mean, you think about the day that we're celebrating today. This is Palm Sunday, and Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people are coming out and laying palms in front of him, laying their coats on the ground, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's a marvelous celebration, but frankly, if you were there, your senses might tell you that your behavior shouldn't be quite so celebratory. By this time in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees had conspired to kill him. And I'm guessing that word gets around about that. So, but you, having heard these things, having heard that this guy, other people want to kill him, but you still come out in spite of what you've heard. If you had been anywhere recently to hear Jesus preach, to see some of the miracles that he had done, you most likely would have seen a group of Pharisees off to the side, probably whispering to each other. And what you saw on their faces would probably tell you that they were not big fans of his. And yet, in spite of what you saw, you come out anyway to lay down palms. You come out anyway to shout your hosannas. Your senses, quite frankly, should tell you to go the other way, to play it safe, to stay in your house, to act like you don't know this man. But there's something inside of you. There's something inside of you that tells you this is bigger than any rumor that I've heard, and this is the things that this person has done are more powerful than anything else that I've seen. And so I need to be there, and I need to celebrate, and I need to praise. God has placed something deep inside each of us that is a continual pull toward God. You can call it being created in God's image. You can call it the Holy Spirit in each of us. You can call it the faith that God gives us. But the fact remains that it's in there, and there is a constant pull toward God. Now, I think about it like this, and I need a little bit of help. And so, I'm hoping that Jack would come up and give me a hand, would you please? All right. And Molly, how about you? Can you come give me a hand? All right, come on up here. Okay, stand over here. All right. Thank you for helping me. I know this is spur of the moment. Okay, what we have here, all right, this is a God-sized magnet right here. Okay? So, Jack, I need you to hold that up. Okay? Here, put your hands a little bit further apart there. Okay. Okay, so we got this God-sized magnet right here. And then we have this. We have our people-sized magnet. Okay? Can you hold that? All right. Now, Molly, put that people-sized magnet on the God-sized magnet and see what happens. Sticks. All right? This is the tug. God is tugging us toward him. And we take our people-sized magnet, and it sticks to God right there. Now, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, but what's interesting is that as much as we want to stick and as much as we want to stay close to God, there are other things that come up in our lives. Okay? So here, Molly, take that people-sized magnet off and just hold on to it, please. All right? Jack, you hold your God-sized magnet still. You know, we want to stay close. We want to stay close to God, but other things in our life come up. So we might think, you know, I really need to keep up with my year of the Bible reading, but I just remembered that I need to make 8 dozen cookies for Staff Appreciation Week tomorrow, so I got to get bacon. So all of a sudden, we got our 8 dozen cookies, and see if our people-sized magnet still sticks, Molly. Put it right there. Does it stick? It sticks. All right, so we're still close. Sure, we've had a little interruption, but we're still close, right? But then there's a problem. We bake our 8 dozen cookies and we take them into school and we realize that one of our friends baked a triple-layer double iced cake and it is pretty. It's even got like a working fountain on top, okay? And so now we're thinking, oh my gosh, all I did was bake 8 dozen cookies and only 7 dozen really came out well, so the 12 that are at home with burned bottoms are the ones that my kids get to eat. And I realize that what I haven't done is something I really want to do, and that's impress my friends. Because I really want to impress my friends. I really want them to think that I look good. So Molly, take our people-sized magnet off there. All right, so now we not only got 8 dozen cookies, but we really want to impress our friends. So stick it back on there. Is it going to stick? All right, it's still on there. So we're still doing okay. But then something else comes up on our mind. And it doesn't matter what age you are, what stage of life, there's something else that comes up on our mind, and that's work. It's our work, because in our world now, work is not just about what you do, it's about who you are, and so if I really want to impress my friends and the cookies didn't do it, then my work certainly has to. So whether it's being the top salesman, whether it's being number one in the class, it doesn't really matter, man, because it's my work. I got to focus on my work. I need to spend more time there. Okay, so Molly, take off our people-sized magnet. So now we got 8 dozen cookies, we're trying to impress our friends, and we have our job on there as well. Put that back on there. Let's see, Molly, is it going to stick? All right, oh, we're slipping, but we're hanging on. We're hanging on. But then we got the kicker. Because then we got money. Money. Do I have enough? Do I make enough? Am I saving enough? Am I spending it the right way? Am I buying the right things that will impress my friends since my cookies didn't do it? Money, 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 money. So, we got to add this on there. Take off our people-sized magnet, Molly. Add money to there. Are we going to stay? Are we going to stay? We're not going to stay. Now, why didn't we stay? Why didn't we stay stuck? Because we have too many things coming between us and God. Too many things that get in the way of us being stuck directly to God. Now, thank you both very much. You can go have a seat. I appreciate your help. See, this is what happens. This is where we want to be. This is what we want our life to look at. We want to be stuck as closely as possible to God. This is what we want our life to look like. But then these other things come up. And these other things get in the way. And pretty soon, we find that we're not as close as we want to be. And pretty soon we look around and we see that we got a mess on the floor of these things that we're so concerned about. And that mess is not who we're called to be. This is who we're called to be. Now, the dangerous thing about any of these is that in and of themselves, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. I mean, who's going to argue with cookies, right? But seriously, I mean, doing something nice for somebody else, that's not a bad thing. Having friends is a wonderful thing. Having friends can actually help you make this bond even stronger. But when we get into competition with our friends and try to impress them, that can push us further away from the God that is reaching out to us, trying to keep us close. There's nothing wrong with work. Work is a great and beautiful thing. But when work becomes the thing by which we define ourselves, when work becomes the focus of our life, then it gets in between us and God. And money is amoral. Remember, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. But when our concerns about money become all-encompassing, then they push us away from the one that created us to begin with. They push us away from the one that is pulling us toward him every day. And we're the ones that wind up with a mess on the floor. Now, all through Lent, we've been thinking about who we are, who we're called to be as God's people in this world, and trying to get away from those things in our lives that are a waste of time or energy. As we move into this Holy Week, I want to challenge each of us, not to let anything get in between us and God. Because if we're willing to walk closely with God through the darkest of times, then we can trust that God will lead us out on the other side. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.